Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Certainly it is a blessing to be in the house of God on this morning. The God that we serve is a good God. And he's not good just some of the time. God is good each and every day of our lives. Let me say what a privilege it is to be in your presence on this morning. It is a privilege because this is the church that I grew up in. And so there are so many faces and so many memories that I have of being here with you. And as I told the church this morning at the 8 o'clock service, is that I am just excited about being in your presence because I love God, and I love God's people, and I love the fact that God so loved me, and God so loved us that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I appreciate the leadership for the opportunity to stand and to speak this morning. I appreciate my father, who was not here this morning, and I know that there are so many men who could be and probably should be standing in my stead this morning, but I am here, and I appreciate the invitation to be with you this morning. I appreciate my brother, who said so many nice things about me, and I told the earlier service a few stories. And I won't take you back through that. I'm used to preaching one time, amen, and being finished. And so this is a little different for me. So I'm gonna come down. Y'all all right? I'm gonna come down, and I'm gonna get close to you, and we're gonna look at the message this morning. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Romans. Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. And I'd like to take for a subject, moving with the will of God. I'd like to take for a subject this morning, moving with the will of Almighty God. When you think about life, God moves us. And maybe I'm talking to some of you, or maybe I'm talking to all of you, but if you are in God's will, God is about moving us to where he wants us to be. Let me say that one more time. When you think about the will of Almighty God, it's not about where we want to be. It's about where God has purposed us to be. Amen, Walls and Lights. Amen. See, sometimes in our life, we want to be here. Amen. 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 As a young man, I knew exactly what I wanted to do in life. I knew exactly where I wanted to be in life. But I've stopped by to tell you that if you are moving by the will of Almighty God, it's not about you, amen, amen. Let me say this to you. God has a purpose. Amen. And let me talk to y'all over here. God has a purpose for you, amen. Amen. Amen, amen. And I'm telling you, in God's will, God will show up and God will show out. Let's look at the text just briefly. The Bible says, or Paul writes, for as many as are led For as many who are what, church?
Amen.
Y'all can do better than that. For as many of you who are what? Who amen. Are led. Amen. Amen. See, some people just go through life. Some people just wake up in the morning and they go where they want to go and they do what they want to do. But there are some people who are led. The Bible says, for as many of you who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You may say, Brother Gibbs, and I that's what they call me at Lawrence and Martyr Street Church of Christ. So forgive me, I know many of y'all know me as Shelton, but they call me Brother Gibbs. Amen. You say, how do I know which way to go in life? I've got so many directions that I could travel in life. Which way is the way that I should go? And I'm telling you, that's something that we all struggle with. Amen. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways. In all, I want that to settle. Now, I don't know if you guys are in a rush or not, but they put me on a time schedule this morning. Now, I just want to talk to you. The Bible says, in some of thy ways. No. In all of thy ways, in everything that we do, if we acknowledge him, then guess what he'll do? He will direct our path. Now, see, we like to be strategic in terms of where we want to be and how we get there. But I'm telling you, God is not a strategic God. See, he does not take us directly to where he wants us. And I'm going to show you 3 points this morning. Number one, I want to show you that God moves us, but it's not according to our schedule. God moves us according to his speed. God moves us according to which direction he wants us to go. And then point number two, I want to show you that God moves us to places that we don't necessarily want to be. See, when God is moving you, sometimes you'll end up in a place where it's not comfortable. A place where you have to struggle. A place where sometimes you can't make ends meet. Amen. I'm just talking about when you are led by God. See, sometimes God will lead you to a place where you are sick or your kids are in jail or you are struggling with your partner in life. And he does that because when he moves, it's not by our strength, but he moves us according to what? According to his strength. See, God gets the glory. When you are moving by God's will, God gets the glory. And then the last point that I want to share with you is that God is the object. See, I'm going to talk about the children of Israel, and God was moving them to the promised land. But it was not about the promised land. It was about them learning to trust in God. The destination was actually God. And I'm telling you, in your life, the destination is actually God. Point number one, we read about the children of Israel in Exodus. And the people of Israel, or the children of Israel, they endured years of bondage. They were slaves. They were broken. They were mistreated. They were abused. They needed someone to rescue them. They needed someone to hear their cry. God finally heard their cry. But it wasn't when they wanted him to come, amen. It was on God's perfect time schedule, amen, Walls and Lights. See, God doesn't always show up according to your schedule. I know you got a BlackBerry, or do we have those anymore, amen? I know you have an iPhone, and you've been waiting for God to move, but I'm telling you that God, he doesn't move according to your schedule. He moves according to his schedule. All
right.
And so when God got ready to move, he raised up a man by the name of Moses. Y'all know who Moses is. And Moses didn't think that he could do what God had asked him to do. Amen. But God gave him a staff. And miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, he marched these slave people out of Egyptian bondage. But it wasn't according to their schedule. It was according to what? It was according to God's schedule. Stay with me. In Leviticus, and actually it's Exodus and Leviticus as well, these same people are camped around Mount Sinai. And Moses is going up and down this mountain. And he's receiving the law of God. God's covenant is ratified. And God gives them instructions to build the tabernacle. And you got to imagine that this tabernacle is not a small building or a small tent. It has multiple parts. And so 600,000 people, or 600,000 men, 2 million people, are encamped in the wilderness. When we get to Numbers, God has decided that these people, it's time for them to move. Look at Numbers 9 and verse 15. And I want to show you how God moves these people. He doesn't move them based on the way that they want to move. He moves them based on his instructions, based on his will. Now watch what the Bible says in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 15. What does the Bible say? On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, read. Now what you have to see is that these people are responsible for moving this tabernacle or this tent. And all of their religious practices take place inside of this tabernacle. God is at the center of everything that they do. And the Bible says that God puts a cloud. I don't know if you can see it. You got to imagine that these 600,000 men, these 2 million people, they have erected this great tabernacle, and God has put a cloud on top of it. Watch what the Bible says. Read.
And at even, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning.
Read.
So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night.
Read.
And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents.
Now, I'm not sure if you see that, but when the cloud lifts, what happens? When the cloud is lifted, what happens? When the cloud is lifted, what happens? All right? This side got it. Amen. When the cloud is lifted, what happens? They moved. Amen. When the cloud is lifted, the people do what? They move. Now, when the cloud settles, what happens? They stay put. In other words, they are not moving based on how they feel. Amen. See, sometimes we want to move just based on how we feel. They are moving based on what? Based on this cloud. And the presence of God is in this what? Is in this cloud. Now, watch what the Bible says. Read.
At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents.
Y'all see that? As long. As long as the tabernacle rested, they did what? Read.
And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not.
Now, why does he keep emphasizing the same thing over and over? Wasn't it enough for him to say that when the cloud was lifted, they moved, and when the cloud rested, they stayed? But yet, God wants us to understand something about moving with God. Read, what does the Bible say?
And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed.
Read.
And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning. Then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night.
Y'all see that?
That the cloud was taken up.
So sometimes the cloud rested a long time. Sometimes the cloud would stay 2 days. Sometimes the cloud would stay 1 day. Now, you got to imagine that you've got all of these people, 2 million people. Have you ever been camping? And they have this tent that has the outer court, the holy place, the holies of holies. They got the laver, the candlestick, and each one of the tribes was specifically instructed on what they were to carry, where they were to be positioned. And God says that if the cloud moves, why are you sleeping? Amen. In the middle of the night, if the cloud moves, what happens? You have to move with the cloud. In other words, somebody had to stay up and do what? And watch the cloud. Amen. Now, again, why does he keep emphasizing? Did we not get it the first time? Now watch this. What does the Bible say?
And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it were 2 days or a month or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed.
Two days, or a month, or a year.
Yeah.
What are you saying? I'm saying that God has his own timetable in terms of how we move, when we move, and he expects us to move according to whose will? Amen. Point number two, I want to show you that it's not just by our time schedule that he commands us to move, but it's by his strength as well. Here's what you have to see. These children spent 40 days in the wilderness wandering around. And you've got to imagine that for 40 years, this cloud, when it decides to move, they have to move. When it decides to rest, they have to what? They have to rest. And one thing that you notice is that they are constantly complaining. When you look at Exodus 15, they move from the Red Sea to the wilderness of Shur. And the Bible says for 3 days, they did not have water. And they finally make it to Marah. And in Marah, they find water, but the water is what? The water is bitter. I just want you to see something about God, how God works. They've been looking for water. They've been traveling based on the movements of this cloud, and they find water. Now, they're in the desert, so they're thirsty. And they come up on some water. And they get to a point where they're ready to drink it. And guess what? It's bitter. Isn't that how God works? God has us in a place where we're trying to find a job. And we've been waiting on God to move. And then he moves us to a place where we have a good interview, amen, Walls and Lights. And we think, oh, this is it. I know the boss, my friend works there. And then the water is what? The water is bitter, amen, Walls and Lights. I don't know if you've been there. Sometimes you find out that your health is not what you thought it was. You've been living a long time, healthy, running, exercising, eating right. And then all of a sudden you go to the doctor and you find out that you have cancer. Amen. Amen. See, what I'm trying to help you to understand is that sometimes God will move you to a place where you don't want to be. Amen. Walls and Lights. And then God is so good that he tells Moses, he says, Moses, here's a tree. Throw it in the bitter water. And the water that was bitter is now what? Is sweet. Exodus 16. I just want you to see this. See, God moves us. He's moving them based on his direction. They're not waking up and deciding to just go someplace. God is moving them to where what? To where he wants them to be. I don't know if you see that. See, sometimes in life, God will move you. And if you go with God, you end up where he places you. Exodus 16, watch what the Bible says. Well, let me just tell you. They went through Elim to the wilderness of Sin. And I want you to keep in mind Elim. They went through Elim to the wilderness of Sin, and the Bible says that they had no food. And they began to murmur, you brought us into the wilderness to kill us with hunger. And watch what God does. God rains manna from heaven. But God says, you only get to eat or gather enough for one day. Except on the sixth day, you can gather enough for 2 days. Exodus 17, they leave the wilderness of Sin and they go to Rephidim. And they encamp in Rephidim and there is no water. God tells Moses to stand on a rock and hit the rock. And guess what they have? They have water. Numbers chapter 11, they're in the wilderness of Paran and there's no meat. And they remembered all of the seafood, the fish, and all of the vegetables, and all of the fresh foods that they ate. And God gave them quail. It's a cycle. No water, no bread, no meat. They moved from the Red Sea to the wilderness of Shur, to Mara, to Elam, to the wilderness of Sin, to Rephidim, to the wilderness of Paran. And I think it's significant that they go through Elam. Look at Numbers 33 and verse number 9. I want to show you something about Elam. Watch what the Bible says. And they removed from what? And came to Elam. Now watch what's in Elam. And in Elam, there were what?
12,000 of water.
What else?
3 score and 10 palm trees.
Here's my question. Why didn't they stay in Elam? Couldn't God have come down in Elam? Elam was a place that they could have been well satisfied.
Amen.
See, we like to be comfortable.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that God moves us into places that sometimes make us what? Here's what I want you to see, is that unless God gave them manna from heaven, they would have what? They would have died. If God would not have given them water from a rock, they would have died of thirst. God was moving them into places where they had to depend on Him. And it's God's prerogative. It's God's prerogative to open doors and close doors. It's God's prerogative when He's leading us to lead us to places where He gets the glory. Amen, walls and lights.
Amen.
See, you can move on your own strength, but then God does not get the what? God does not get the glory. But when it's God that is moving you, when it's God that is making you, then guess who gets the glory? It's God that gets the glory. See, I'm not talking about just moving. I'm talking about moving according to God's will. When you move according to God's will, it's not on your time schedule. God doesn't care about your schedule.
Amen.
And it's not about moving the most efficient way. Amen.
Amen.
It's about moving in a way by which God's purposes. Now watch this. I'm talking about God's purpose for your life. See, God has a purpose for your life. And you don't know God's purpose for your life. You don't know why God has moved you into a place or a position.
Amen.
You don't know. But God knows. I think about my own life. I didn't apply to SMU. I went to SMU, but I didn't apply there. I was going to Pepperdine. I met a man by the name of Gary Bond. 3 weeks before school started, had my apartment, everything scheduled. I was headed to Malibu, California. My dad came to me. He said, "Shelton, what do you think about going to SMU?" I thought that was the craziest thing I had heard. I had been working on getting into law school since sixth grade. The classes were already set. What are you talking about? Now, in my sarcasm, I said, "Sure." You obviously know something I don't know. My dad's next statement was, I want you to meet someone. I've got lunch scheduled for you. Next thing you know, I'm at SMU. SMU is giving me scholarship money. I didn't apply for the DA's office. I was looking for a job in Kentucky. I was looking for jobs all over the place. But guess what? When I came home from Washington, D.C., I had a voicemail on my phone. And the DA of Kaufman said, I want you to come in. I heard about it. Now, I'm not even in Terrell, Texas. I heard about you, and I want you to come and interview. Guess what? They hired me on the same day. People ask me, they say, Shelton, why are you still at Kaufman? You ought to be doing something else. Why are you still wasting your time in Kaufman? Because the cloud had moved.
Amen.
Let me tell you something else. I knew that I might want to preach. My dad had preached. But I didn't call Lawrence and Martyr. I was minding my own, I was working on a book, actually. And I thought that the path that God had for me was being an author and a prosecutor. And I was making plans. Amen. And I got a phone call. Shelton, why don't you come try out for Lawrence and Martyr? The book stopped on the shelf. I didn't pick it back up. I had spent and invested so much time and effort and energy. The book was almost finished. I had done commencement speeches and all of these different things that I was doing, and God put the brakes on it, and I didn't touch the book for 7 years. I ain't touch it. What are you saying, Brother Gibbs? I'm saying that even preaching, I had a speech impediment as a young man. I didn't think that I could preach.
Amen.
But I'm telling you that all I had to do is just yes, my attitude was, if God opens the door for me to speak, then you speak. I can't tell you how many times I stood behind a pulpit shaking in my boots. Nervous about whether or not I would be able to articulate my words. But let me tell you something. God will move you in places where it's not your strength. You don't do it because God has gifted you and you can just go off on your own and do it. Paul said, my grace. God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ rest on me. What are you saying? I'm saying that when you move in the will of God, you don't know where he is moving you. The children of God, they woke up in the morning and they didn't know where the cloud was going. They didn't know how they were going to eat today. Amen. Jesus said, look at your life. Why are you so worried? Look at the birds. They're not working and hustling like you are. You want to know who feeds them? Your heavenly Father feeds them. He said, look at the lilies of the valley. They're not toiling and spinning and stressed out. Amen. He said, even Solomon was not arrayed as one of them. Seek ye first. Amen. The kingdom. And his righteousness. And I'll put you where you need to be. Amen. Walls and lights. My last point. When you look at the children of Israel, God is not just leading them. God is the object. God is the destination. God will put ambitious goals in your way. He say, you know, there is a promised land that flows with milk and honey. I'm giving it to you. You might want to be a CEO of a company. You might want to be rich when you make it, amen. And God allows us to want certain things. God will take you through a road that does not make sense to get there. When I think about this people, Israel, God could have given the promised land to Abraham. God could have given the land to Isaac. Think about it. He could have given the land to Jacob or to Joseph. Why is he waiting so long? Why, when they get out into the wilderness, are they traveling in circles? Because the promised land is not the real object. Why is God leading them to places that are without water? Amen. I don't know if y'all see this. Why is God leading them to places where there's no food? They are in Elam, and Elam has food. Water is in Elam. Why is the cloud moving? Why did God send 12 spies? He could have just sent them straight into the promised land. Why does God want us to see that our enemies are bigger and greater than we are? Why would God do that? Because it's not about the promised land. It's about learning to trust in God. Let me give you a principle as I close. God wants the will to be greater than the where. Let me say that one more time. God wants the will to be greater than the where. See, we are so concerned about the where. I want to live here. I want to drive this. I want to work here. God can bless you wherever. Amen. Walls in life. God is not concerned about the where. God is concerned about the will. Now watch this. When the will or the journey becomes bigger than the where, when you get to where God wants you to be, when you get to the where, when you become CEO, guess what? Guess what? You're not going to do what it takes to stay where. Amen. Even in the will, even in the where, you are going to do what it takes to follow his will. Why? Because you understand who brought you there. Amen. But see, if you get over there to the where and you ain't got the will, amen, walls and lights, then you focused on staying in the what? In the where. Now watch this. Three Hebrew boys. They were minding their own business. They loved God. Amen. But their city was besieged and they were taken into captivity. And y'all know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Come on now.
Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to erect this statue, and when you hear the flutes, you bow down. And the king said, when they didn't bow down, the king said, do you not know where you're going? Do you not know you're going to die in the furnace? They didn't have to go into the furnace. God's will sent them into the furnace. They didn't have to go. All they had to do was what? He said, bow down. He said, come to work on Sunday. Amen. I ain't got to lose my job. I'm going to show up on Sunday. Amen. But the will was greater than the where. Listen to what these boys said. Daniel 3 and 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not. I want y'all to read it with me. O king, we are not what? O king, we are not what? Why are you not careful? This man is about to kill you. Why are you not careful? That's because the will was what?
Greater than the where.
Than the where. Right. Now watch what they say. They said, my God is what? Able. My God is what?
Able.
Y'all can do better than that. They said, my God is what?
Able.
My God is able.
Yes.
He's able to what? He's able to deliver us. And not only is he able, but he what? Look at it. Look at it. It's on the board somewhere. Amen. What does it say? He is able and what else? And he will. How many of you know that he will? How many of you know that he's able? God is able. But it's only when you move in his what? In his will. Now watch this. They were so strong in the will that they said, even if he does not, I'm still not what? Bowing down. Why? Because the what? Because the will was greater than the where. Now watch this. They go into the fiery furnace. And the king and his men are watching, and they said, we sit in three. But I see a what? I see a fourth who appears like the what? Like the Son of God. Here's why it's so important to be in the will. Is because in the will, that's where God's power is. That's where his power is. You fighting by yourself. You running by yourself. Even in a dark time, even in the fiery furnace, you got God's power. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? Because when they came out, they ain't even smell like smoke. Their clothes were not burned up. Their hair was not singed. Somebody asked me why. Because in God's will, can't nobody touch you. You can hate on me all day, but you can't touch me. You can dislike me all day, but you can't touch me. Why? Because whether I'm here or there or anywhere else, I'm in God's will.
Amen.
Now watch this about God. When they come out, King Nebuchadnezzar, watch what he says. He said, if anybody says anything amiss about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they shall be cut into pieces. Who got the glory? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get the glory? No, God got the glory. Watch what else he said. I don't have my text. But ultimately, look what happens. They become governors. They become CEOs, amen, but it wasn't the direct route. Joseph became the king, but it wasn't the direct route. He went through prison, amen. He went through, what am I saying? I'm saying that God ain't going to take you straight to where you want to be. But when he delivers you, when he delivers you, when he delivers you, he will get the glory. I look at that trial, and I'm done. Last week, that young man was in God's will. How can you look the murderer of your brother in the eye and you say everybody else is saying you need to go to prison? But he said, I'm not even mad. I don't want you to go to prison. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. Why did that man say that? He said, I didn't prepare this speech. I haven't even told my family what I'm going to say. It's coming out of the Spirit of God. God moved him into that testimony seat because God knew that the world needed to see his grace. The world needed to see his mercy. They needed to see what God has done for you and what he's done for me. That never would have happened. It never would have happened if that young man was doing his own thing.
Amen.
You want to know why God does not have a testimony from our lives? It's because we're unwilling to go where the will takes us. They get hot, man. I'm not going in there. I know what you said. I know you said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Amen. But don't you know I got a job, a family to feed?
Preach it.
He said, trust me so I can get some glory. You got so many people who are being led by the flesh, who are leading us according to the worldly mandates. God just wants some glory. But he needs us to stop being noodles. You can't fight with a noodle.
Amen.
We go wherever the wind blows. We call ourselves Christians.
Amen.
But when God needs us to stand up and move with the will of Almighty God, where are we? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus. It was God's will to demonstrate the love of God through the sacrifice of his son. It's a whole lot of people preaching something different than what the will of God is. Jesus says, come to me. There's only one way by which you must be saved.
Amen.
Is there someone in the audience who has been traveling this road alone? Moving based on what you feel and what you think. Fighting with your strength, with your talent, with all of your sophistication, your good looks. This is somebody who is willing to accept God's will as greater than where they want to be in life. When you get in Christ, here's what will happen, is that God will start moving. He'll start moving. And when he moves, you get the blessing and he gets the glory. Come to Jesus as together we stand and sing. Will you come? You come by hearing his word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, being willing to go down with him in the watery grave of baptism that is for the remission of your sins that puts you into Jesus Christ. that puts you into his church, the only church that you can read about in your Bible. And I'm telling you that Jesus is coming back again. And when he comes back, the question is, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Not faith in your ability, but faith in his ability. His ability to save you, his ability to bless you, his ability to make you a better man, a better woman, a better father, a better mother, a better worker. He just wants to bless you. He doesn't want to take anything from you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave the perfect example of how we should live. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And God took him. I believe that Enoch was so impressed with God. He probably had ambitions, but at some point, the walk with God was more impressive than the ambitions that he was fighting for. That's where I am with life. There's so many things that we could do, so many places that we could go, but I'm telling you that I love the journey. I don't care about the where. I want the will. And I want my sons and my daughter and my family to be in the will of Almighty God. I know he'll bless you. I know he'll bless you. You got to trust him. Trust him with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him not in some of your ways. In every aspect of your life, if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. And he'll put you where you are best needed. Not where you want to go, but where he can use your influence. Where he can impact the world with your life. Why? Because you didn't shake, you didn't fold when the going got tough, but you stood strong in him. Stand strong. Let God bless you. Come to Jesus as together we sing, "Will You Come?"
Number 853, 853. When we walk with the Lord,